You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, man, I'm a Lions fan this season. Lions make the playoffs. McLovin says he's driving to Detroit, and Jeff in Detroit gets to hit him with a pie to the face. I love it. Welcome to the program. It's a Friday. It's hour one. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come on in. Stay a while. Got the Traegers all fired up. You can dial us up. You can email. You can tweet. Say good morning to our TV partner, Peacock. Great relationship with our streaming service. All 3 hours. Download the app. You can watch for free. And our radio affiliates around the country, numbering nearly 400 cities. Lakers a half game behind the Blazers. The seeding is still in flux. We'll run that down here coming up in a little bit. The NFL is still investigating Deshaun Watson, and will he be put on the commissioner's exempt list? We'll explore that topic. Also, could we see load management in the NFL this year? They added the extra game. Talking to a source last night who said, I wouldn't be surprised if you're going to see some load management from some players and some teams. We'll have a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that coming up. Got an emotional weekend in Springfield, Massachusetts, the Basketball Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Kobe Bryant is part of the class of 2020. They'll be honored on Saturday. Michael Jordan will present Kobe. Michael's own induction speech probably wasn't his finest moment because he was clearly struggling to let go of some grudges, past and present. Now he gets another chance to talk about a player that used to idolize him. And Kobe came into the league trying to be like Mike. We remember the ad campaign with Nike, be like Mike. Well, Kobe wanted to be like Mike and was the closest to being like Mike. It wasn't one of those, you know, is he worthy enough? He eventually proved himself to be worthy to be in that same conversation with Jordan. And the two became close friends. I think that was the biggest surprise from all of the people who spoke at the memorial when Kobe passed away. And Michael started talking about his personal relationship with Kobe. And Michael's private, and I don't think most of us knew anything about that. But they became two close friends. And Kobe paid it forward. A whole generation of players wanted to be like Kobe, just like a whole generation wanted to be like Mike. And Kobe embraced those players. The number of players who said that Kobe would reach out, he was always there to help them. Kobe's loss still stings. And we celebrate his Hall of Fame career. And who would have thought we would be celebrating it posthumously? But Michael Jordan will be there as a presenter. Tim Duncan is going to be presented by David Robinson. Kevin Garnett presented by Isaiah Thomas. Rudy Tomjanovich, the former Rockets coach and player, presented by Calvin Murphy and Hakeem Olajuwon. Kim Mulkey, who just left Baylor to go to LSU, is going to be presented by Michael Jordan as well. Eddie Sutton, presented by John Calipari, Bill Self, and Sidney Moncrief, the Hall of Fame coach. Yes, Paulie.
Can you think of two more different Hall of Fame speeches than Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett? They seem like polar opposites as public speakers.
And the fact that they went toe-to-toe their entire careers, and then here they are, I still go back to that story that I tell. And I have from a reliable source that this happened. Tim Duncan is on the elevator at the All-Star game. Kevin Garnett gets on the elevator. And KG is still trying to intimidate Tim Duncan. And they might have been on the same team, on the Western Conference team, for all I know. But you know, there's no crowd, there's nobody around, and apparently Kevin Garnett is talking trash to Tim Duncan. You know, when you stand on the elevator and you have somebody there and you know they want to talk to you, but you don't want to talk to them, you just stare straight ahead, or you know, you fidget with the buttons or maybe your phone. So from what I'm told, Tim just stood there. So here's two 6'10", 6'11 guys, and they're on the elevator, and Tim is just staring straight ahead. And KG is apparently yelling at Tim just in his ear, talking trash to Tim Duncan. And Tim didn't acknowledge KG. Yes, Eaton.
Tim was just looking down at his fingers at all these rings. He was like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. I was just admiring all my rings here.
No, that's where you put the two rings in your ears and you go, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. There's a ringing in my ear. Yes, McLovin.
I was wondering, KG picked Isaiah Thomas. Is that why? Are they just the best trash talkers? Isaiah, I guess Chicago kids is presenting him.
Yeah.
Was Isaiah a trash talker like that? It's like
not,
to say.
No, not that I'm aware of. I think there are other players on the Bad Boys that were, but I don't know. Isaiah was, he was a competitor and a fighter, but I don't know if he was somebody. Like, there are very few people. Like Gary Payton would be somebody that would rival Kevin Garnett. I mean, there's certain guys that you just go, they take it to another level. And Gary Payton was like that. You know, the glove was not afraid to let you know. Yeah, Paul.
I love that Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas could be near each other at the same time, even crossing in each other's eye path on the same stage. It could be go time.
Oh, God.
They hate each other.
That's so good. I forgot all about that.
There's this great clip. You've seen that documentary, the Dream Team?
Yeah.
And they talk about Michael Jordan, and he sits down for this interview right before the Dream Team is going to go to Barcelona or whatever. And he looks at the producer and goes, no Isaiah Thomas questions. And it's, and the producer goes, okay. Like, you know, he's totally paranoid.
Paulie, it's Barthelona.
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 Barthelona. This program brought to you by Simply Safe isn't just an award-winning security system that keeps your family safe. They offer a highly trained security expert or two when you need them the most. You can go to simplysafedan.com today, customize your system, and you get a free security camera as well. The playoff picture is a little bit complicated. If the Lakers win both games against the Pacers and the Pelicans in Indiana and also in New Orleans, the Blazers lose their one remaining game to Denver. The Lakers will be the number six seed. The Blazers host the Nuggets on Sunday at 9. Blazers with what I thought was a very, very suspicious call that went against them. They lost last night to the Phoenix Suns. The Blazers are in a complicated situation. Unlike the Lakers, they aren't ready to welcome a four-time MVP back into the lineup. The season is fully on the line against the Denver Nuggets. And Denver still has a chance to jump up to number three, so it doesn't look like they're going to be resting their starters. If everybody is healthy, probably playing in that game against the Portland Trailblazers. And Terry Stotts, Portland's head coach, is probably coaching for his job. So there's a little bit of drama left. McLovin, you got a poll question for me today.
Okay, it's that time of year to play the game. What is a team that you don't want to play in the playoffs, the NBA? And this is basically, I'm asking because I have no, I'm looking at the seeding and I have no idea, like, does the Clippers have to avoid the Mavericks at the number six seed? Like, who are the teams that people are scared of?
I would think with Luka, but then, you know, it feels like Dame Lillard, we know that he can hurt you and he comes up big in the playoffs. He had 40 last night in the loss. Also, keep in mind, the race for the 3 and 4 seed in the West, the Clippers and Denver right now, Denver owns the tiebreaker, and you know, so Denver's got Portland. They got at Detroit as well. L.A. plays Houston and at Oklahoma City. The race for 1-2, Utah and Phoenix. The Suns own the tiebreaker, and you've got Utah playing at Oklahoma City and then Sacramento. Phoenix plays at San Antonio twice. There's a lot of drama left here to unfold, certainly in the West, in the final weekend of the regular season. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, can you imagine being the 1 or 2 seed in the West and have to play the Lakers in the first round? That's terrible.
Yeah. My Sacramento Kings lost to the Memphis Grizzlies. They will not be in the playoffs again. I probably could have reported this months ago. 15th consecutive season, the Kings will miss the postseason. That ties the NBA record set by the Clippers from 1977 to 1991. That's the longest in NBA history. The Kings have had 10 head coaches during this 15-season drought. Here's some other things about the Sacramento Kings that I learned. CBS Sports providing this. Some notable draft decisions from the Sacramento Kings during this period. the Kings took Tyreek Evans over Steph Curry. Bismack Biyombo over Klay Thompson and Kemba Walker. Thomas Robinson over Damian Lillard. Ben McLemore over the Greek Freak. Nick Stauskas over Zach LaVine. Willie Cauley-Stein over Devin Booker. Marquise Chris over Domantas Sabonis. Marvin Bagley Jr. III over Luka Doncic. Oh, but it gets even worse. They gave up an unprotected first-round pick and swapped rights on another first-round pick to dump enough salary to sign Monte Ellis in free agency. That was in 2015. Ellis declined the offer and then signed with Indiana for a bigger offer. The Kings had already made the trade, and the player with that selection, they swapped with Philadelphia, Jason Tatum. Sacramento has had only one player make the All-Star game during the drought, DeMarcus Cousins. It's hard to be this bad. It almost seems like, hey, we're going to try to be bad. Because it used to be the Clippers, where you go, that laughingstock. Now it's Sacramento Kings. And granted, they're a couple of games out of a playoff spot. Even with a play-in game sponsored by State Farm, the Sacramento Kings on the outside looking in again. Yes, Paul.
Why don't you become the Kings GM and president? You're in, you know the franchise.
Yeah,
you know basketball.
Yeah.
You really couldn't do worse. You're a pretty well-known guy. You could do it from here. You don't have to live there. You can go visit a couple times a year. You should do it. Mm-hmm. That'd be a good gig for you.
Yeah.
You can keep this job. Mm. You love purple.
Yeah. But there's a lot of black and blue, though.
Yeah.
Comes along with being...
Think
affiliated
about it.
With Sacramento Kings. Yes, McLovin.
Do you remember when Peter Vesey applied to be the Nuggets GM and it was very serious, but they didn't take him?
Yeah.
There have been some jumps. Lee Jenkins, our friend, went to the Clippers, I believe.
Yeah, the writer from Sports Illustrated. Yeah. No, I don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that?
No, I got a tough enough job here. I'm dealing with the Sacramento Kings.
Remember your old days as an NBA fantasy owner, how into it you were? Did you say you were making trades while on
air?
Yes, I was.
Very, very unprofessional. Very unprofessional. When Oberman would be on camera, I'd be trying to pull off a trade that would get me Alonzo Mourning, Glenn Rice, and Stacey Augman. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, you needed block shots. That's clear.
Yeah, I did. Of course I did.
But you took all shooters during the draft. Mm-hmm. I know how you were.
Yeah.
Another poll question. Who's the top three seed that's most likely to bow out early? If you look at the Sixers, who got destroyed last night by the Heat, the Nets and the Bucks in the East, and the Jazz, Phoenix, Clippers in the West. If you put that up, I have a fear that my Sixers are going to be the team that people are going to vote is not going to last long.
Well, they might meet the Miami Heat in the second round. And I'm talking about the Heat. Udonis Haslem, who is still playing in the NBA, well, he dresses and he plays for the Miami Heat. He got ejected last night. And this is his first appearance of the season. He got in and he and Dwight Howard went at each other. And here's Udonis Haslem, the Heat forward, on getting tossed.
If this is the last one, I finished it the only way Udonis Haslem could, with an ejection.
Was that a hint?
I said if. If it was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. If, Tim, if.
He had 4 points in 3 minutes of work. If you prorate that, that's some pretty impressive basketball. Yeah, Paul?
Yeah, if you look at if he played 36 minutes a game, he'd be averaging 48 points and 12 rebounds a game. What are you keeping this guy on the bench for? Well rested.
Sixers lost to the Heat last night, failing to lock up the number one seed in the East. Philly has one game up on Brooklyn. Phoenix kept its hopes alive for the number one seed with the win over San Antonio. The Suns are one game behind Utah for the top spot in the conference there. Yes, McLovin.
By the way, yesterday's poll is still up, and I'm sorry to bring this up, but it's been a thing. Do you like deviled eggs? We're at 68% say yes. I saw them outside, Dan. It looks marvelous.
Yeah, we had a controversy yesterday. Our cameraman, Weeks, he celebrated his birthday this week, and I let him control the menu. And he's a healthy guy. Like, we have broccoli today that we're cooking on the Traeger. We got pork, I think. And then we have deviled eggs. And not a deviled eggs guy, but it's Weeks's day. I'm open-minded. Let's put it that way.
You bring deviled eggs to a party, Dan, they are gone before anything else.
Okay. But the Traeger makes everything taste good. Now I'm going to put the Traeger to the test with deviled eggs. It's too early to call Guy Fieri, but maybe I'll call or text Guy Fieri. I need an advisor on deviled eggs here. Maybe Guy's, you know, not too busy. We can wake him up. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah. It's like the Traeger, Chad came in one time. He actually made Brussels sprouts and I ate them and they were good.
Yeah.
So you got to, I'm going to try it.
Yeah, Chad from Traeger, you know, he can make anything taste good. But now I got Tyler, the moderator, out there. Like, he's running chat row, taking care of my puppy, Winnie, and he's cooking. And I think in that order. Yes, McLevin.
By the way, they're adding bacon to the deviled eggs.
Yeah, I saw that.
You could add bacon to anything now, and it's better.
Yeah, but you guys got upset when we added bacon to Brussels sprouts. Like, why do you need to add bacon to Brussels sprouts? I'm like, so don't add bacon. Now you're acknowledging, welcoming bacon?
Well, I saw people were mad. Remember we had those Bloody Marys
yes.
with bacon?
Yeah.
That might be a road too far, or was it good?
I've had an oyster in a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, dude, that's the way to do it.
There was a place in New York, and I went with my son, a Bloody Mary guy. And all of a sudden, there was shrimp, olives, celery, oyster, and I went, Is there anything to drink in here? It was a meal that I had. Yes,
yeah, I'm not into Bloody Marys as a meal, but there are things that go really well with it. Bacon is okay. Oyster is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Nice little touch.
Yep.
What other poll question do we have, McLovin? Then we'll take a break.
Well, it is Friday, and I'm sorry. You're gonna yell at me. And when is the last time we can put up, will Aaron Rodgers be back with the Packers? Because it's been accumulating all week. People are saying they would not have put 5 games on the primetime schedule if they didn't know.
Well, 2 of those they can flex out of.
No one cares about that detail. You're getting too realistic.
Okay, my bad.
But the other thing I asked the degenerate in the back, you can't really bet on him to return to the Packers, although you can bet on his next team.
That would be Dylan, who does graphics here. Like, he's part-time graphics, full-time gambler.
So as this week ends, and we let the Aaron Rodgers story go for a while, you know, Rob Domofsky said 5% or less. It's got to be 50% he returns to the Packers, right?
All right. If June 1st is really the date. If anything's happening, it'll happen then or after that. But I've said all along, I thought he was staying. But, you know, given the dialogue back and forth or the, you know, the lack thereof dialogue, I don't know. I'll still side with Rodgers staying in Green Bay. But I'm not looking at the primetime schedule and going, oh, that's why he's guaranteed that he's going to stay. I think they're saying, look, we can get out of this if we have to with a couple of these games. The big ticket item, though, the biggest game, regular season game in Patriots history is going to be with Tom Brady coming to town. Prices are crazy. You got Tom Brady's dad calling the hotline of a Boston radio station. I'll play you some of that. Like, he's trash talking. Tom doesn't. Dad is. Yeah, Paul.
The shackles are off. Remember Brady when he left the team? He was on the Stern Show. Now dad's calling radio stations. Everyone's loose.
Now, the great writer Dan Shaughnessy will join us coming up next. We'll check in with the great writer Wright Thompson, who talks about Bob Baffert and the Preakness. And then a little bit later on, Peter Schrager on loan from the NFL Network, Good Morning Football. So we got a busy show. You can be part of it in a variety of ways. We'll take a break. It's 20 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. So when my daughters use it, then they always say, yeah, but you're going to get the money back, Dad. And that's so like they have me there. You can't trust them. They're sneaky. They're dangerous with a credit card. But they're right. It's amazing. Even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the U.S. that take credit cards take Discover. When it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app. A couple of great writers on the program. Wright Thompson, ESPN senior writer, talk about Bob Baffert. Had some strong comments about Bob Baffert, the Hall of Fame trainer. Get to your phone calls. Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe set to join us. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. I think we came up with a poll question, correct, McLovin?
We did. Which one? Aaron Rod- I have another one more before Shaughnessy.
Okay.
If you could buy a ticket or have a ticket to one game, the opener, Cowboys at Bucks,
okay,
or the week four, Bucks at Patriots. Now, you're a neutral fan. You're not a Patriots fan. Mm. Which game is the must-go-to game?
If I'm a neutral fan?
Neutral fan, yeah. You're not a Patriots fan. You're not a Tom Brady fan.
I would go to the Cowboys-Buccaneers.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. Season opener, Cowboys, always interesting. I mean, the one with Brady in New England is personal, certainly for New England fans. But if you're not a Patriots fan or a Buccaneers fan, then I would think the Cowboys might be a little more interesting for you. Yes, Bowling.
I wonder if you offered a Boston sports fan tickets to the Patriots hosting Tom Brady this upcoming season,
yeah,
or a couple tickets and a plane trip to the Super Bowl. I think that'd be a decision because don't know who's in the Super Bowl. And you know your Patriots aren't.
So we're not even, we don't even know what's happening in the Super
Bowl. We're assuming the Patriots aren't in because they're not that great.
Oh, I would rather take the game against Brady.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's bring in Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe sports columnist. How big a deal is this with this regular season matchup, Brady coming to town?
Well, Dan, it's a bigger deal than you're making it since you're going to the Cowboys opener if you're neutral.
Yeah, but let's say I'm not a Patriot fan or a Brady fan. That's the season opener, pomp and circumstance. You got, the concerts, you got all kinds of things.
Yeah, I hear that. And again, I don't consider myself particularly provincial, but this thing, there's so much pathos here, so much, history build up. As you say, it's personal. It's epic. I mean, there's going to be arguments for both of these to be the greatest ever at what they did. And they were together 20 years. They went to 9 Super Bowls. They won 6 of them. I mean, yeah, the notion of him coming in there after winning the Super Bowl, after leaving with hard feelings in Foxborough with Bob Kraft there, schmoozing on the sideline and all the anger, all the anger we have here in New England with the Patriot fans. It'll be a rare night, though, Dan. They'll be cheering no matter what because they love the Patriots and they love Tom Brady. So there's going to be a lot of cheering every time either one scores.
But we wondered yesterday if before the game, Brady gets it out of the way and acknowledges Bill or vice versa, because Robert Kraft is going to be on the sidelines and he's going to be hugging Tom.
Oh yeah.
But
kissing him.
Okay. But what happens with Brady and Belichick either before or after the game?
There might be a ceremonial thing. Not much more than that. And I mean, Tom's kind of rubbed his face and he's been talking about it a year, how much fun this is. He gets to be the general manager. He gets Alex Guerrero back. They'll have Guerrero on a throne on the sideline. All the hard feelings, all the things that went on here. Bill saying, he didn't exactly have heart surgery when he came back and played with a cut hand and just the little subtle shots. And Bill's going to be, as soon as that game's over, Bill's going to be, we're on to Houston. He will not talk about the emotion of coaching against Tom.
If you said to Belichick, you can schedule this game or not have this game, like it would be his decision, do you think the fact that you're hosting Brady, do you think that he would want this?
I think he'd rather not because of all the circus and the noise, the 5 months of buildup, the ticket prices, and the questions. He hates that. He hates all the ancillary stuff. If you want to talk to him, ask him about the Army-Navy game. He'll talk to you about that all day. He doesn't want to talk about the emotion of coaching against Tom Brady.
Do you think he cared if Brady won the Super Bowl?
Yes. Yes. I think legacies are important to all these guys. And I think that it made people that aren't paying close attention say, well, it was Brady all along. There you go. Now we know. And nobody wants to hear that when you have his track record. And he knows it's a stupid theory. It's a stupid takeaway. But casual people that love Tom, it's like, well, evidently, it was all the quarterback the whole time, which, of course, is ridiculous.
When the Patriots were in the Super Bowl against the Eagles, and I did an interview with Tom a couple of days prior, and I said, when this is all done, do you think you and Bill will ever sit down and, like, open up the scrapbook? And he looked at me like that's the craziest question you could ask. He goes, no. And I went, like, there wasn't anything further. It was like, No.
That's, I believe that to be true. I think he's telling you the truth there. I think it was a great professional relationship with a lot of mutual respect. I think they grew apart as more and more people were poking him about who's getting the credit, who's getting the blame. And there were subtle shots all the time. I referenced that thing about Brady had his hand cut open the week of the playoff game and then got stitched up the day before. And there was all this noise about, oh, Tom, what a warrior. How could he have done that? And Bill says, it's not like he had open heart surgery. There were always little shots like that. And then Tom's been doing it like the whole time since he left about how, oh, it's fun here. Come on down. It's fun. They let you do what you want. You don't have to go through all this misery of winning that they did for 20 years. Anyway, yeah, it's very real, I believe.
Oh, my God. It's not like he had open heart surgery. If I would have given you Garoppolo or Mac Jones last month.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm kind of in on Garoppolo, and there's no learning curve there. He knows the system. You wouldn't have to be looking at Cam Newton, because Cam Newton's going to be the quarterback at the start of the season, and that's going to cause a lot more noise here, which Bill hates. Like, when are you going to go to the kid if things don't get off quickly? If you gave it to Garoppolo, you wouldn't have that. He knows the system. You could put him in there. Bill hates rookie quarterbacks. There's going to be a learning curve for Jones no matter what. But you don't know what the future of the kid's going to be. And it's a good chance that the next 10 years of the kid is better than the next 10 years of Garoppolo.
Yeah, I was just curious. And then you draft a Brady clone.
Yep.
You know, a quarterback who's embraced the comparison to Tom Brady. So I don't know if he... Like, is he afraid of the big spotlight here? It doesn't seem like it.
I don't think the quarterback is at all.
Yeah.
But Bill is afraid of putting a rookie quarterback into the fire right out of the gate. Because he has taken advantage of rookie quarterbacks for 20 years.
But
he loves to play against them.
So if you were a betting man, does Mac Jones play at all this year?
Yes, I think he plays. But I think it's going to be – it depends on how bad Cam is, of course. The big issue is going to be if Cam's bad out of the gate. They get off 1-3, 2-2, whatever, and there's all this pressure to let the kid play. Bill hates to cave into that. But I think by the end of the year, I think that the idea is to transition to Jones for next year. So, yeah, you probably want to look at him at the end, but it depends on what's at stake, where they are in playoff positioning, all that sort of thing.
Before I let you go, the state of the Celtics here.
Oh, boy. It's funny you say that. I've got a call in with Danny Ainge. I'm talking to you instead of talking to Danny Ainge right now because it's bad here, Dan. And they're a 500 team, which is unbelievable after 70 games. They have two left. They're going to be the seventh seed, and they're going to have to do the play-in round. This team was in the finals of the conference three of the last 4 years. They have two all-stars in Brown and Tatum. And there's excuses with COVID and injuries. But overall, it's been a very underachieving team that has been unlikable. They get way behind in games. Then they ratchet up their defense. Their shots start falling. They play hard. Very annoying team. Very un-Celtic-like. Not characteristic of what folks around here embrace. And they're behind the eight ball because they've been fat and happy for a lot of years. But Brad Stevens, this is 8 years in.
Yeah.
And we're not seeing it. It's going the wrong way.
Are you going to the Basketball Hall of Fame induction ceremony?
I wish I was. The answer is no. That's a great event.
Do you have a favorite story of any of those players? With Kobe or Duncan, Garnett?
Well, I mean, the favorite story, of course, is Duncan. Rick Pitino came here assuming he was getting Duncan. What was he thinking? I mean, Rick Pitino left a really good situation, came in here, took Red's name off the masthead, and, you know, had it all teed up for Tim Duncan, and he ends up with Mercer and Billups, who he traded in a month. I mean, he got 3-6 instead of one.
Oh.
It was franchise altering for the next 25 years. So that's my Tim Duncan story.
If Duncan had gone to the Celtics, finish that statement.
I think that Pitino has a much longer career here. And I think that, you know, Pierce would have come in. They would have been good. They would have been good in the early part of the century, you know, instead of really bad and finding their way to 2008. With, of course, Garnett comes in and rescues him, but the years between 96 and 2008 would have been far more pleasant around here in basketball.
Is Ainge given enough credit to pull off the trade to bring in Garnett? That, like, Red Auerbach would do that all the time, it felt like. But, you know, Danny was – so his former teammate, Kevin McHale, is there, and they're basically saying, here, Danny, take a future Hall of Famer and go win a championship.
Well, it has the appearance of a bag job. And when I was a young guy covering that team, when Danny and Kevin and Larry were teammates, they would play cards. And Red would go by and say, Danny, isn't that against your religion? You can't play cards with those guys. And Danny would point to Larry and Kevin and say, Red, it's not gambling against these guys. And lo and behold, 20 years go by, and Kevin McHale gives him Kevin Garnett, gives him a championship. So, yeah, that one should have been investigated.
I'll let you get to your phone call with Danny Ainge. Good luck with that. Dan, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
That's Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe. You know, maybe I should reconsider if I'm just a neutral NFL fan going to watch Brady in New England. It just feels like, I don't know, Brady, Buccaneers, Cowboys opening night. It's just a big moment. And having been a part of those games when I was working on Football Night in America and we would travel to the site, it's just, there's something about it. It's the first day of school. Like, it's just, by the way, did you see where Brady was saying, hey, this is like the college friends meeting the high school friends. So the Buccaneers are his college friends and they're meeting his high school friends. And that doesn't always go well, because I always had a separation between my high school friends and my college friends. And I never wanted the two to cross paths there. But do we have the Tom Brady senior comments here, Seton? So he calls a Boston radio station, and I guess he's got the hotline number.
It's Tom Senior, first time, long time.
Yeah, and so he's kind of talking trash here. Yeah, Paul.
But imagine you're the call screener. I've had some experience with this. 98 The Hub in Boston. What's your name? My name is Tom Brady. Oh, Senior.
Yeah. Here's Tom's dad.
I saw the schedule come out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season, and that we're coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the fourth game. So wow. It's a pretty fun time.
I guess he can say we.
Definitely. He could say we.
Yeah, I'm going to give him approval. Do you have another clip from Tom Senior?
I'm glad it's early in the season and the weather will be good and there won't be any moaning and complaining about weather or anything, either negatively or positively in the Boston area or if it was in Florida. But it's going to be great. I think we're going to have a great time, and I think the Buccaneers are kind of licking their chops to get up here and take the Patriots down a notch or whatever.
Yeah, Paul.
If I were those hosts, I got about a dozen other questions I would ask Pops. Like, hey, Pops, can you walk us through the Jimmy Garoppolo trade? hey, Pops, can you take us through the Deflategate and what you know about it? I would have grilled Pops.
I don't know if they would. I don't know if they would do that with Senior. I don't think that'd be great. Yeah. Hey, before you go, I got one other question. You know, Deflategate. What did your son tell you about Deflategate? Can you tell us anything about this? Where's the deflator, Tom? Yes, McLovin.
I was thinking about that opening game, the Cowboys. Will that be the highest rated regular season game in like recent history? Because it'll have a full crowd for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Like for the first time, they're going to make that. It's the Cowboys.
In Tampa.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Tampa.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the record is, but this has got to be it, right?
I don't know. But I know this, you know, Shaughnessy wrote that this is the most important regular season or biggest regular season game in Patriots history. And I don't know, maybe it is. It's not like I have a Rolodex where I go, no, I remember, you know, in October of 2014.
Yeah, Stanley Morgan had two touchdowns. Yeah, remember that?
Yes. I covered the Patriots when they would come to the Giants or the Jets and that Stanley Morgan team. John Hanna. Like, I go back with the Patriots.
Who is a quarterback?
Grogan. Well, Tony Eason. I came in to New York. Well, I went to that draft when, the famous quarterback draft. And I think that was one of my first assignments at CNN. I think it was the Marriott Marquis. And I remember that you were up on a balcony area looking down on the entire draft. And that's when you had all those quarterbacks drafted. You know, Ken O'Brien, Elway, Marino Kelly. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, there were some mistakes in that one. Letting Dan Marino go to the bottom of the first round.
Yeah, but there were rumors about Marino, you know, if he failed a test. Like, there was a lot that was sort of there. But back then, you just didn't, you didn't have NFL insiders of sorts. You had, like, Will McDonough of the Boston Globe. Like, that was an insider. But, you know, Elway was considered a future Hall of Famer. You know, Trevor Lawrence can aspire to be John Elway. But Jim Kelly, we weren't quite sure how good he was coming out of Miami. Now, Penn State wanted to make him a linebacker, and then he goes, I think Howard Schnellenberger was his coach at Miami, and you know, Jim, but they thought maybe he was going to the USFL. Yeah, McLovin.
So Kelly went 14 to the Bills, and then 15 was Eason, yeah. And then Marino was 26. Can you imagine if the Patriots must consider Marino? I mean.
Well, I forget who it was. Oh, the Dolphins. The Dolphins passed, or no. The Steelers passed on him.
Yes.
That was the big one.
21.
Danny was, you know, from, he's a local guy.
They took someone named Gabriel Rivera.
Gabe Rivera. Senior Sack was his name. I think he's out of Texas Tech. Senior Sack.
Yes. Senior Sack. Out of Texas. Yes. A defensive tackle.
Yeah. It's a good nickname. But, man, you got to get some sacks. You know, that's, then you're like Senior Snack. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, you don't want to be named Senior Sack if you're not playing defensive end somewhere. Like, it's a totally different connotation.
It's like touchdown Tommy Vardell, and then you don't score any touchdowns in the NFL. Like, you just, hey, didn't you used to be touchdown Tommy? Yeah, I'm just Tommy Vardell now. Yeah, I dropped the touchdown part of this. Let me take a break. We'll come back. And, Jeff in Detroit wants to talk to you about your Lions bet, McLovin.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we'll do that. And our play of the day coming up next. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God.
The play of the day.
Looks like I got it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Chris Paul with a basketball into the front court for the Suns. Gets behind a Saric screen. Takes it into the lane area. Fade back 14-footer is 2 points. Dynamite.
That's courtesy of the Suns Radio Network. Chris Paul hits a jumper for the Suns and a win over the Blazers. Suns keep their hopes alive for a number one spot in the West with the win. Currently a game back of Utah. If the two teams end up tied, Phoenix will get the nod due to a tiebreaker. They went 3-0 versus Utah this season. That's your play of the day. Play of the day brought to you by Simply Safe. Isn't just an award-winning security system that keeps your family safe. They offer a team of highly trained security experts when you need them the most. Go to simplysafedan.com today. Customize your system. Get a free security camera. Jeff in Detroit joining us. Good morning, Jeff.
What up, though? One time for Chat Row. I got a quick question for McLovin. Do you know the ratio of the circumference of a circle to its diameter?
Yes, I do.
That would be... Oh, okay. What would that be, my friend?
Isn't that pi?
you
walked me right into it.
Because I tell you, I got the whole chat row on my line, baby. I got so many Lion fans, man. They want to see you get smacked with a pie so hard, dog.
All right, listen, so the bet is that McLovin says the Lions will not make the playoffs. And right. But not exactly going out on a limb there, McLovin.
Right.
But McLovin will drive to Detroit if the Lions make the playoffs and Jeff gets to hit him with a pie.
Oh, my goodness. I was trying. And listen, the funny part is you have fans all over the country figuring out
what to send me to hit him with. And I'm like, man, no, we'll just do something real simple. You know what I mean? It's the love of just smacking McLovin with the pot. Also, and this is real funny that you guys were talking about Isaiah Thomas, Kevin Garnett, and Michael Jordan. And the reason why Kevin Garnett is being presented by Isaiah Thomas is because he's the one that initially got him into the league. From my understanding, Kevin was at a gym, and Jordan was playing, and he looked through the window or something, and he was telling a story about it, and that they called him into the gym. He played, and Isaiah Thomas sat down with him afterwards for about 2 hours and explained to him, you can go straight to the league. This is what you do, this, that, and the other. And Kevin Garnett has never looked back, so he owes everything to his NBA career simply to Isaiah Thomas.
Thank you, Jeff. Also, there's a backstory on the relationship between Isaiah and Kevin Garnett. Isaiah brought Kevin Garnett, or helped get him to come up to Chicago to play basketball his senior year in high school, playing for a friend of Isaiah. Because Kevin is from South Carolina, brought him up to Chicago. He played 1 year of high school ball there and then went straight into the league. Yeah, Paul.
I was in college around then, and that was called Farragut Academy in Chicago, and they were like rock stars. They had a guy named Ronnie Fields, who was actually a better player in high school than Kevin Garnett, who was 6'2 and could jump out of the gym. You couldn't get tickets to their games. It was high school games. You couldn't get tickets. You couldn't get in.
Yeah, McLovin.
I want to basically hedge right here and say there better be no shenanigans about the Lions. Because the last three opponents, listen to this, at Atlanta, at Seattle, and Green Bay at home, that's Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers, three friends of the show. Would they throw games to the Lions and make sure I got a pie in the face? You know Russ would.
Could be load management with those quarterbacks, you know, that final.
Yeah, they're like, well, I could sit out and McLovin could get hit.
Yes.
Right, like the worst thing that could happen for Andrew right now is those teams wrapping up an early playoff spot. And then it's tankathon.
Yeah. And you're betting against friend of the show, Jared Goff.
Oh, yeah, I know. I love Jared Goff.
But
I
just really?
I do like Jared Goff. He was so tough. He played injured last year. I thought he's a good. I just don't think there's any talent around him.
I still love that story that Shaughnessy was saying, that when Brady had his hand cut and they were going into the playoffs, and then here's Belichick. Not like he had open heart surgery. Wow. They must have had sneaky barbs that they just, you know, they were firing at each other. Because that, I don't know. Like, there are times when you're surprised Belichick doesn't say something, and then you're surprised when he does say something. And sort of the same way with Brady. I'm waiting for the definitive Brady book when that comes out. Whenever that is, whenever he stops playing, is that 5 years from now? But I would love to have our next guest, Wright Thompson, write the book on Tom Brady. Woo! You want to talk about somebody who can... And like, his profiles are unbelievable. The one he did on Urban Meyer, the one he did on Michael Jordan. Whew. There's very few writers in America who can do that and get that. I'd love to just say, hey, Tom, here's Wright Thompson. You really want to write a book? Here's the guy. Yeah, McLovin.
But those people are miserable. Tom's happy.
Is he? 1 hour in the books, two more to go. The great Wright Thompson will join us. Peter Schrager on loan from Good Morning Football. Busy 2 hours coming up. One more item first hour, Simply Safe Home Security. If you don't take my word for it, and you should, U.S. News and World Report called Simply Safe, quote, the best home security of 2021. When an alarm goes off, a person who cares is there for you with a phone call to make sure you're okay. An emergency happens, a person who cares is there for you, getting the fire and police responders to your front door right away. Even if you're having a problem setting up your system, which you can do by yourself in 30 minutes or less, a person who cares for you is there with a friendly chat and a quick resolution. That's what Simply Safe is all about. Highly trained experts, always there for you when you need them the most. Award-winning home security. You know it's engineered with the latest technology to keep your family safe. Can't say enough great things about them. Bottom line, they're there 24/7 for people who care. No contracts to sign, no pushy salespeople. Go to simplysafedan.com, 60-day risk-free trial. Also, you get a free security camera. Simplysafedan.com, tell them we sent you.